I see everyone's leaving the room now that they know that I'm going to speak. I knew ahead of time it's going to be the Sunday school. Anyway, first of all, yes, there is an extra Bible up here. Yes. First of all, who needs an outline? Okay, so we've got a lot of extra pages here. Jackson, thank you. Oh. As I've been preparing this message, I've becoming more and more aware of the challenge of really doing justice to a subject like sanctification. I just thought I would start with just a brief word of this recapitulation or review. We've been looking at the subject of sin, which I didn't mention in the key words because I figured most people here would know what that was. Redemption, justification, and now this day we're going to tackle the subject of sanctification. Notice where it says here, justification to declare a person righteous. God does this for the believer because he has imputed the righteousness of Christ to that person. And then sanctification, God setting the believer apart for himself, positionally at salvation, progressively throughout life, and ultimately when the believer arrives in his presence, in God's presence, in heaven. That sets the tone for the way I've done the outline for the message today, and that is these three areas: the positional aspect of sanctification, the progressive sanctification, and then the perfected or ultimate sanctification. God setting the believer apart for himself. Setting apart. I noticed that as I was starting to do the study, the huge number of references to the word holy, sanctify, holy thing, dedicate, prepare. You know, the words that say, they start piling up. And a lot of our English words, we might have different Hebrew or Greek words and then different English words that are used for these different Hebrew or Greek words. And so I think Lewis Berry Chafer just gave one example where in Leviticus, in one verse, there the same word is the same basic root word is there, but you have three different English words that are used for that one word that is given in that reference in Leviticus. I think it's this reference is. See, Leviticus 21, verse 8. And therefore, you shall consecrate him, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you, am holy. So there you got actually, and now some versions might have two different words, some might have three different words. But here you have consecrate, holy, sanctify, and then holy again. And all the same word. So I said, okay, how am I going to do this? And then it's like a moving target because you have different aspects of sanctification. And, you know, we have this idea of someone being set apart for a task. We just prayed for Aaron and Sarah to be set apart for a special task. And that special task, devoting time, resources and energy, and all this is an idea of being that they're putting this time aside, and all money and all the activities set aside for this special task. And I was thinking of a story that some of you know. Back in the Great Depression, my mom's family, they lived in Yakima, and then they lived in Kansas City, and they lived in Yakima. Finally, came to Seattle. It must have been spring, because they were getting ready for Easter. So the Cedarland family had set aside, prepared some eggs that they were going to use, and they were very careful about that, because you know money was hard to come by. And so they put all these eggs, and they were going to paint them and then put them up and then have a little Easter egg hunt and all this kind of thing. So they put the sack of Easter eggs, and they put it up on a high shelf where it would be kept safe. And so those eggs were set apart, prepared for that particular purpose. Now, about that same time, they had a pet dog. They nicknamed the dog Yaki, from Yakima, Yaki. So, little nice little terrier. And Yaki was a nice little dog, but Yaki didn't like it when there was a visitor to the Cedarland home, and that visitor was a stray cat. Now, the Cedarland family decided that because the cat was new and the dog might not get along with the cat, they decided to put the dog out of the house and keep the cat in, so to keep the cat and dog separate. So far, so good. But then after a while, they thought, well, maybe now it's time for Yaki to get to know the cat. Well, Yaki had no desire at all to know the cat, except to take a good bite out of the cat, because his happy home had been disturbed by this interloper. So as soon as the dog came in the house, boom, he went for the cat. And the cat knew that his life was held in the balance. So the cat started running and was looking any place he could find. And finally, his eyes set on an ironing board, those things that you used to iron, get clothes. I don't know how many people still know what those things are. Anyway, it was leaning against the wall, and so with his claws, he grabbed onto that ironing board and went straight up the ironing board. Well, right at the tip of that ironing board was that special shelf with all those special eggs. The cat wasn't thinking about anything about the special eggs. He was thinking about saving his life. So he went up the ironing board, and as he got to the top, the whole sack of eggs came down, 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 smash, down on the ground. So the Cedarland family did not have the money to replace the eggs, so they ended up with scrambled eggs for Easter. I was thinking, well, you know, sometimes we make plans. We set things aside. We set time aside. We decide we're going to do a project, and then it turns out to be scrambled eggs. You know, something goes wrong. I was thinking of that trip that I was setting aside for my visit with my brother and his wife down there in Southern California, and then that AFib incident I had, and then the time I enjoyed in the hospital Christmas Eve. And you know, that sort of felt like that scrambled egg kind of thing, you know. Anyway, just so setting something apart. This is something, though, that we have these things that are set out here, and I used just about every little square inch of space on this piece of paper, as you can see. Wayne Grudem did an interesting job just contrasting justification and sanctification. Justification, a legal standing. Sanctification, an internal condition. Justification, once for all time. You know, you're justified. The Lord, we're justified, and it's taken care of. And we're just justified now as the day we put our faith in Christ. Sanctification continues throughout life. Justification, entirely God's work. We can't claim credit for justification at anything. In sanctification, we actually cooperate. It's part, we're involved. And so a good part of this message is how do we cooperate with God in this ministry of sanctification. Then perfect in this life. Justification is as perfect now as it will be when we get to glory. Not perfect in this life. That's kind of there's some people think that you can lose your sin nature and you can be perfect in this life. And that's I was thinking of that when Blair was talking about that perfect flight. If there is such a thing, and then that if you do have such a thing, it won't reoccur. Well, I mean, that's we have imperfections. And then you have justification. It's the same for every single believer. But for sanctification, it's greater in some than in others. So I thought there were some interesting comparisons there as we just look at those two areas. So we were looking at justification last week and how we're justified, declared righteous in God's sight because of the work of Christ. And it's imputed, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us based on the work he did on the cross. So then we have these aspects of sanctification. And so we're just going to go down this list and then stop from time to time to look at some of the things that are said here. Notice it says here in Acts 20:32. Here Paul is meeting the Ephesian elders, and he says, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Notice how he's just describing people who are believers as sanctified. So how do you know? Are you sanctified? Yes. If you're a believer in Christ, you are sanctified. Now, look at this in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. "To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified..." He's talking to the believers, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called, and then to be isn't really in the original. So called saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we are very aware, but after looking at the letter to the Corinthians, that these believers in Corinth were anything but perfect. But here they are called sanctified in Christ Jesus and saints, holy ones, holy people. And then later in the letter, Paul says, "And such were some of you," talking to those people who are at Corinth. "But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So the sanctification and that Spirit of God doing all those things, washing, sanctifying, and justifying in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 10:10, And I just knew we were going to go through all these verses, so I said, well, okay, I'm going to lay them out. By the way, we're using this text is a New King James, just in case you're wondering what translation it is. And so I thought, okay, if there's someone following along in the King James, New King James, they can follow fairly easily. And then at the same time, it's a little easier than the King James. But Hebrews 10:10, by that will, here I come, in the volume of the book is spoken of me, to do thy will, O God. You see, by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, once, and I ran out of space, for all. Once for all. And then finally, Jude 1, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. So these verses, as you see them there, they describe a condition that is a done deal. So in one sense, we are, every single believer in this room is sanctified, set apart. But it doesn't stop there. And so most of the outline I put down is the progressive part, and because that is something that we are involved in. That's something that concerns us, and we can do something about it. We believe in Christ. That's the one step of faith, and then God has done the rest. But here we have this progressive aspect of sanctification. And I started with the word, and this is not, I'm sure this is not a perfect list. So speaking of being progressive and imperfect, this outline is one of a case in point. So the word of God was something, this scripture seemed like it'd be a very good place to start. John 17:17. And here, the Lord, in his prayer for the disciples, and actually for us too, he says that, just going back a little ways, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, speaking of the disciples. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, there's so much out there today about what is truth. You know, Pilate said that. What is truth? Yeah, well, there are a lot of people out there that are saying, asking the same question. What is truth? Well, your word is truth. God's word is not something that is kind of just real wishy-washy and up for grabs. It's something certain. And then he goes on to say, and I didn't have space for this, but he goes on to say, beyond that, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so with that kind of assurance, Aaron and Sarah can go, you know, do what they're going to do. Because it's, but that goes to each one of us. If we have a responsibility, then the Lord is asking us to do something for him. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So there is something about the Word of God that has that effect of setting us apart for God. So, do you say, well, I want to be more like the Lord? Well, okay, the key is in here. The key is in here. We take the Word of God, we learn it, we read it, we meditate on it. That is going to have an effect on us of setting us apart. We set apart time for the Word, and then it will, in effect, and in turn, it will help us be set apart for the Lord. Now, moving on to the next one, and we're going to run out of time. So, I just said the Word of God to start with, and then the right math, the right math. Does it add up? A lot of people are talking in the news. This doesn't add up. This person saying this or this person saying that, and it doesn't add up. Well, it says here in Romans that we are to, for the death that he died, that is Christ died, he died to sin once, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon, and the word there is calculate. We talk about calculators and figuring out, adding things up, and reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then that those words later on in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. We're in a different, now that we, it, for each person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a radical change here, but we're supposed to be recognizing that change. See, the trouble is that some Christians, they just go on and they don't recognize that there's been a dramatic change in their, I'm thinking of, we've had a dramatic change in administration between President Obama and President Trump. There's a dramatic change there, and there's a whole bunch of different people that are either happy or not happy as a result of that. And I'm not making any statements from the pulpit here. But, the thing is that there's a reckoning. There's a reckoning. And so we reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there's a reckon process there. And so that has an effect of helping us to measure ourselves in a reality check. Say, okay, this is where I really am now. I was just thinking of one time we were short on money. We were on the dock waiting to get across the English Channel, and there was an airline waiting for us at over in Luxembourg on the other side, and some money that one of the members of the family needed to pick up from someone didn't get picked up, and so we ended up at Dover at the ferry dock with not enough money. We were just short. So we're reckoning, we're adding up, saying, what? How are we going to get across the English Channel? Once we get across, our tickets are bought. But if we can't go back because there's no time, we'll miss the flight. And so, someone had given my brother and I a silver dollar. So, okay, we were going to spend that on ourselves, but coughed them up. That's going to be our ticket across the English Channel. It was just enough. Dad went into the bank with those silver dollars, and that was it. So anyway, that was a reckoning that we weren't counting on. Anyway, the next one, the living sacrifice, just putting ourselves, the living sacrifice, present your bodies, a living sacrifice, Romans 12. And do not be conformed to this world, but this, look at the transformation here. It's a work in progress. There's a transforming by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what? Prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. People ask, what's the will of God? That's a question that people ask over and over again, not just here at church, but I want the will of God for my life. I don't know what it is, Okay, if you're going to prove that, and there's a transforming effect, and presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. That song we were singing in the worship service, a sacrifice to God in life or death are we, then keep us ever, blessed Lord, thus set apart to thee. That's just like this. I said that verse out of that hymn was ready-made for my sermon. but with a price, we're not our own. We died, we live to God alone. Hannah Burlingham. Wonderful words. And based on some of these things that we're just looking at. And then you go, the next point is fruit. You know, what kind of fruit from the tree? It says Romans 6:22, and then you've got Galatians 5:22-23, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If you live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. So that, the fruit of holiness, fruit of holiness. Next one, the mirror where we see Jesus. What is that? What kind of mirror is that? Beholding as in a mirror, it says 2 Corinthians 3:18. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. Here again, this transformation into the same image from glory to glory. So you see again, it's a process here. And what kind of mirror would be able to do that? Not the regular mirror that you look at home. That's for sure. Or the one in the men's or women's restroom. No, it's this kind of mirror. It's this kind of mirror, beholding the glory of the Lord. And as we meditate on that, there's a transforming process. The new wardrobe, Ephesians 4:24, and then Colossians 3. We're putting on the new man. So it's just like taking off this jacket and putting on something else. Which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So that's another picture there of what is going on. It's like clothes. So these are all little word pictures that give us a clue as to, and then you just go and we don't have time to read it, but look at those verses and see what they say about how it could impact our lives. Some people say, well, there's another thing about the will of God and the need to obey. This is the will of God. I say, oh, here's going to spell it out. This is the will of God, your sanctification. So this is something that God wants in our lives. And then, in particular, that you should abstain from sexual immorality. Okay, so that's a big thing. It's just all over. All around, we're just kind of immersed in it, and they were too in the ancient days. I mean, they were living in a hostile environment, in Ephesus and in Corinth and in these different places, and in Thessalonica. But this is what was the will of God. You should abstain from sexual immorality, and then. Later on, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. So you see the theme that's repeated over and over. And I knew that we were just going to have time just to briefly step on them and just look at it very briefly. So I do commend these verses to your attention for further study. Another picture is that as we go through this life, and as we go and are making progress in our Christian life, it's like we're a vessel. A vessel, like a cup, like a and I was thinking of the illustration that Quincy was using of how would you like it if you had the dirty chopsticks or something, and you had clean chopsticks, and you had to choose between them. Which would you use, or a clean set of cutlery and a dirty set? Which would you use? Well, I know which one I would use. And same idea here, where it says here, in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Not the good work that would save you. You're not earning salvation with that. No, this is the result of salvation. You are set aside And so the prayer for Aaron and Sarah is that they are useful. They'll be useful for the master, prepared for every good work, whatever that work is. And it's the same would be for each one of us. What that would be, the Lord will make it known to you. Sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. But, you know, if you're just busy doing your own thing and getting involved in sin, and then suddenly, oh, there's an opportunity. Well, yeah, the Lord can't use you then because you've gotten all messed up. And so it needs time to recover. So be ready for the master's use. And then the family connection. People say, well, it's not what you know, but who you know. Well, here it says here in Hebrews 2:11, for it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. This is just a verse leading up to this quote. Many sons to glory, and that's what the Lord is doing, bringing many sons to glory, men and women, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one. We're all in the same family. For which reason he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So that's a wonderful position that we have. And say we have a special connection as we are going through this life and as we are becoming more like Christ. There's the one offering. For by one offering he was perfected forever. Those who are being sanctified. It's a process going on. But that one offering, what does it do? Well, you read further down in Hebrews 10:14-25, and you see that there's a whole bunch there. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the matter of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that all flows out of that one offering, that what has been made available for us. And then the Lord's place in my heart. What place does the Lord have in my heart? That's maybe the most important question. What is the Lord's on the side someplace? Kind of, we just got him a little room on the side. My heart, Christ's home. That little track that was put out. Just a wonderful description of how the man opens up his whole home to the Lord. And not just one room, or maybe then he just keeps part of the home so the Lord can't visit. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready. And so listen to this. This is the sanctifying the Lord God in your hearts, and then you have being always ready to give a defense to everyone who asks your reason for the hope that is in you. But you are you first have that sanctifying the Lord in your hearts. If you're not doing that and say, well, I don't seem to be having opportunity for a testimony, well, maybe that's what you need to do first. You need that to take care of that. And so then we have the final section here. We just ran through that so fast. Sorry. Anyway, those I want to just go through those things. Each of these are things that we should be aware of as our lives are being transformed, as they're changing, and are going from glory to glory and becoming more and more like Christ. The perfected sanctification, the fact that, and someday it's all going to be done and we're going to know the Lord, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. That's what's going on. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. And I put this down on the very bottom here. Sanctification is glory begun, and glory is sanctification completed. I saw that quote from F.F. Bruce, and I said, hey, that's hits the nail on the head pretty good. And then, beloved, now are we the children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, part of that sanctification, just as he is pure. So we've rushed through here. I've gone a little over. Apologize. And may the Lord bless his word and give us the strength and understanding and the willingness to be able to engage in the scriptures and to ask the Lord to help us to become more like him day by day. Let's close in prayer. O God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the many ways that you are changing us and able to make us more like the Lord Jesus Christ day by day. We just pray that we might be engaged in that process in a very vital and in a very make that a real priority in our lives. And we just pray that it would become something that would be evident, that everyone could see, and that especially those around us who don't know the Lord yet. And, oh God and Heavenly Father, we would make a special prayer for Aaron and Sarah as they prepare to go down to South America. Just prepare the way for them and give them the grace and the energy and all the needed wisdom, and give them the tools that they need so that they will be able to be tool and be an instrument in thy hands to bring glory to thy name. And so just we just commit them to thee, Lord, and ask special grace and enabling for them. And special grace, Lord, for the Nam family as they are grieving for their loved one. And Lord, for that service and for any of the people in that service that maybe don't know the Lord yet. So these people, we would just all commit into thy hands. And meanwhile, we just commit each one of us and ask thy special blessing upon us as we go from here. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.